Okay, so let us begin with Rabbi Willis Shir about Zmanei Hayom. The topic of Zmanei Hayom is actually a very involved topic, and it's a complicated topic. In the back of Rabbi Willis' packet, he gives an article that he wrote in Chavrusa, which is the yeshiva publication for rabbis, where he begins by just saying at the outset, you know, rabbis have to make up calendars, and you have to know something about Zmanei Hayom in order to properly make up the calendar. Now, the main topic in Zmanei Hayom is the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, where the Gemara tries to figure out what exactly Bein HaShemashos is. And the Gemara says that Bein HaShemashos is Safek Yom, Safek Laila. Right? It could be that Bein HaShemashos, each part of it, we're not sure if it's day or night. And it could also be that it's Vaday Yom, it could also be that it's Vaday Laila. That's what the Gemara says. And then there are three different Shitos HaTanoim. About what Bein HaShemashos is. The Gemara first says that Rabbi Yehuda's Shita has something to do that the sun sets, Mishat Tishka HaChama, but there is still a little bit of redness. Hichsef HaTachton, Velo Hichsef HaElyon, etc. Once it's Hichsef HaElyon, once the top part of the horizon is dark, Vihishvel HaTachton, then it's definitely nighttime. That's the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Reb Nechemya's Shita is that Bein HaShemashos is the amount of time it takes to walk half a mil. And Reb Yossi's Shita is that Bein HaShemashos is Keheref Ayin, Bein HaShemashos is instantly. Now, the Gemara discusses the Shita of Reb Yehuda at length. And the Gemara speaks about whether, according to Reb Yehuda, there's a machlokas, whether Bein HaShemashos, like Rabba says, is going to be 3/4 of a mil, and the other possibility is that Bein HaShemashos is going to be 2/3 of a mil. This is all in the Gemara. After the Bein HaShemashos of Reb Yehuda comes the Bein HaShemashos of Reb Yossi. This Bein HaShemashos that the Gemara says is Keheref Ayin goes right away, instantly. Now, the issue that is very important is Tosfos comments on Daf Lamed Hey Amud Beis, the top Tosfos. It's on the fourth sheet in Rabbi Willig's packet. Tosfos comments that we paskin like Reb Yossi. The Gemara says that we paskin like Reb Yehuda for some things, Reb Yossi for other things. Zok Tosfos, why should I paskin like Reb Yossi if it's only Heref Ayin, if it's a tiny amount of time, it's too insignificant to matter. So Tosis then says, well, one approach is that the Bein HaShemashos of Reb Yossi is a long while after the Bein HaShemashos of Reb Yehuda, and we're not sure how long it is. That's one day in Tosis. The other day in Tosis is that the Bein HaShemashos of Reb Yossi is immediately after Bein HaShemashos of Reb Yehuda. Again, so what we have over here is Bein HaShemashos according to Reb Yehuda, which is this thing of Hichsef HaTachton v'lo Hichsef HaElyon, when the when part of the horizon is black, but the bottom part is black, the top part is still red. That's the Bein HaShemashos according to Reb Yehuda. And that Zman is either 3/4 of a mil or 2/3 of a mil. And then comes the Bein HaShemashos of Reb Yossi. It's clear in the Gemara, Bein HaShemashos of Reb Yossi is after the Bein HaShemashos of Reb Yehuda. But the question is the Bein HaShemashos of Reb Yossi right after the Bein HaShemashos of Reb Yehuda? Or is the Bein HaShemashos of Reb Yossi a while after the Bein HaShemashos of Reb Yehuda? That is two opinions in Tosfos. Now, if we understand that the Bein HaShemashos of Reb Yossi is right after the Bein HaShemashos of Reb Yehuda, so then what should happen is, based on the Gemara that says, Kochav Echad Yom, Shnayim Bein HaShemashos, Shlosha Laila, what should emerge is that we see 3 stars right after the Bein HaShemashos of Reb Yehuda. The Bein Hashmashas of Reb Yehuda is, let's say, 3/4 of a mil. It's either 3/4 of a mil or 2/3 of a mil. Okay, now, assuming that a mil is 18 minutes, so 3/4 of 18 minutes is what? 13 minutes and change, right? 13 and a half minutes, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So we should see 3 stars at 13 and a half minutes. And the problem that emerged is it's not true. It's not true. The earliest that stars are seen in Yerushalayim, Rabbi Chil Michal Tukhachinsky says, is 24 or 26 minutes after Shkia. Not 13 and a half minutes.
24.
What? 24 minutes or 26 minutes? So this is a problem. This is a problem. So what Rabbi Chiyo Michal argues is that, in effect, the Bein Hashmashos of Rabbi Yossi is a while after the Bein Hashmashos of Rabbi Yehuda, like that other opinion in Tosfos, that there's some delay between them. That there's some delay between the two times of Bein Hashmashos. If that's the case, that there's a delay between them, so we could say that this accounts for the fact that Bein Hashmashos is going to be that we see the stars some 24 or 26 minutes after instead of 14 minutes after. That's Rabbi Chiyo Michal's argument. This argument is really based on the Shita of the Gra. Because what we're going to see in a few minutes is that the Vilna Gaon's understanding is that the way we divided the sugya up until now, the Vilna Gaon says, well, let's say you're passing like Rabbi Yehuda, so that means Bein Hashmashos is until 13 and a half minutes. Right after that should be nightfall. According to Rabbi Yossi, so a little bit afterwards. Keharifayin afterwards is nightfall. Right? That's what should emerge. That's what should emerge, according to the Gra. Aye, it's not true. You don't see the stars. So Rabbi Chiyo Michal said, well, you have to follow that opinion in Tosfos, that the Bein Hashmashos of Rabbi Yossi is delayed a while after Rabbi Yehuda. We don't know how long, but a certain amount of time. The difficulty is that if you'll read the Gra himself, the Gra himself does not say that Bein Hashmashos of Rabbi Yossi is delayed after the Bein Hashmashos of Rabbi Yehuda. The Gra himself says that the Bein Hashmashos of Rabbi Yossi follows immediately after the Bein Hashmashos of Rabbi Yehuda. Right away. That's a problem, no? Because if it follows right away, so then you should see stars technically at 13 and a half, 14 minutes maybe, after Shkia. It's not true. This is the problem. So the thing to read, if you want to know what should you read just to understand this in a concise way, it's Rabbi Willig's first article, the article that's here on page 22 and following in this handout, the article that's in the Am Mordechai in Brachos. In that article, what Rabbi Willig points out is that, yeah, Rabbi Yechiel Michal Tukhachinsky is saying this idea, which is based on the Gra, but it's not the Gra himself. For the Gra himself, you have to say a fancy shtickle Torah, that if you know how to look for stars, you'll see stars 14 minutes after Shkia. There were soldiers, apparently, in the Israeli army who knew exactly where to look, and they found it. 14 minutes after Shkia, you can find the stars if you know where to look. Now, this is what is written by Professor Leo Levy, Yehuda Levy. He used to live here in the neighborhood. He was the one who had the chalitza shoe. Right, famous story that they were looking for a chalitza shoe in the neighborhood. He had it. So Professor Yehuda Levy, he's the one who says that if you know where to look, so you could find stars 14, 15 minutes after Shkia, and then we're good to go. Okay, this is all the Shita of the Vilna Gaon. Rabbeinu Tam, though, has a very different take on the entire universe. Tosfos on Lamed Hei Amud Aleph in Shabbos quotes that Rabbeinu Tam asks a famous stira. Our Gemara says that Bein Hashmashos, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is 3/4 of a mil after Shkia. After New York Times, sunset, 3/4 of a mil later is Bein Hashmashos. But the Gemara in Pesachim, in the sugya of Derech Rechoka, says that Bein HaShemeshos is 4 mil after Shkia. It's a stira, a contradiction. So Taisus answers that Rabbeinu Tam said that really there are two different Shkias. There is the first Shkia, which is what the New York Times calls sunset, which halachically does not matter. Completely insignificant, says Rabbeinu Tam. The real Shkia that matters is going to be the second Shkia, which is going to be 3/4 mil before 4 mil, right? Which is basically what we would call 3 1/4 mil after New York Times Shkia. So if Shkia today was 4:32, right? So 4 mil after 4:32, let's assume a mil is 18 minutes. So that gives me 72 minutes after 4:32. What is that? 5:44, right? 5:44, so then 3/4 mil, 13 minutes before 5:44 is going to be... Anyone? What? 5:30... Yeah, okay. So that's going to be the time of second Shkia, and that's the halachically significant Shkia according to Rabbi Nutam. Now, what's the problem with Rabbi Nutam Shita? The Gra asks, look outside tonight at 5:31, and hachush machish, it's pitch black. It's pitch black. Right? Seis hakochavim is supposed to be, after that, the stars are already out by 5:31. 5:31 is supposed to be the shkia, that's a sunset, that's the beginning of Bein HaShemeshos, but according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's pitch black. That is the simple question of Hachosh Machesh. Actually, if you look in the Gra himself, if you read the Gra in Reish Samach Aleph, it takes a lot of patience, but the Gra's understanding of Hachosh Machesh is actually much more involved. The Gra is saying that Hachosh Machesh would mean that there are going to be places in the world as you go further north where there is never going to be a Tzeis HaKochavim. That's really the Hachosh Machesh. But the easier way to say over the Gra is the Hachosh Machesh is that the... it just doesn't work out. It doesn't work out that you don't see... you already have stars by the time of Shkia, according to Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbi Willig, in his Sefer, wants to defend the Rabbeinu Tam as follows. Rabbi Willig wants to say that if you read the Gemara in Shabbos, is a complicated part of the Gemara. Actually, that the Rif doesn't quote. This is like the big mystery in the Sugya. How come the Rif doesn't quote this part of the Gemara? The Gemara says that Abaya would look to the west. Well, are you looking to the west? What does the west have to do with anything? What's going on here? Unclear. So the Ravya has a chiddush. The Ravya wants to say that according to Rabbeinu Tam, when we speak about Tzeis HaKochavim, what we mean is Tzeis HaKochavim all the way in the western horizon. And for that, it could be that there is no Tzeis HaKochavim all the way in the far west of the horizon until, let's say, 72 minutes after what we call Shkia. Okay? So be it as it may, the Gra has his question on the Rabbeinu Tam, which is why the Gra completely rejects Rabbeinu Tam. Completely rejected, it's gone. But Rabbi Willig wanted to defend Rabbeinu Tam based on this Ravya. Okay. Now, for the Gra, we also have the steering Gemaras, right? Because our Gemara says that Bein HaShemeshos is 3/4 mil. The Gemara in Pesachim says that Bein HaShemeshos is 4 mil. We still have the steering Gemaras. So the Gra would answer, yeah, the Gemara in Pesachim is not Aliba de Hilchasa. The Gemara in Pesachim is just giving us some astronomical calculation. But that doesn't matter halachically. Halacha, what matters is the sunset that we see, that first Shkia. That's what matters. Fine. Now, Rabbi Willig, in his shir, had a few lishitussles that are very important. Right? We have machlokes grun Rabbeinu Tam. The Gra says that what we call Shkia, sunset, is the beginning of Bein HaShemeshos. 13.5 minutes after should be nightfall. If you want to go by a different cheshbon, the 13.5 minutes just means the amount of darkness, so then in New York, let's say, it's going to be 20 some odd minutes. But That's based on some hakira that Rabbi Chanan has at the beginning of Psachim, about whether Tseis HaKochovim is the stars the Siba or the Simin. Do the stars cause nightfall, or are the stars a Simin that it's dark enough for it to be night? Okay? So if you understand that the darkness thing, so then we could say 13 and a half minutes becomes 20 minutes. But Lamaise, according to the Gra, 20 minutes after Tseis HaKochovim, chick chak boom, nighttime, no problem. That's the Gra. Rabbeinu Tam would say, no. Rabbeinu Tam would say, all bets are off. And until the second Shkia, it's Vadayom. And Bein Hashmashos begins some 13 and a half minutes, or maybe if you want to extend the time, we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Let's say 20 minutes before the 4 mil time. That's when Bein Hashmashos begins. That's Rabbeinu Tam. There's a few nafkaminas, though, a few Lashi Tussles that we could draw. Rabbi Willig pointed out that the first Lashi Tussles in terms of the Cheshbon is Shos Zmanios. We know that in Halacha, we don't calculate an hour as being an hour on our watch, right? A Halachic hour is much more complicated. You take the day and you divide it up into 12 parts, right? And that's an hour, 1/12 of the day. Well, what is the day? So that's a machlokas between the Gra and the Rabbeinu Tam. According to the Gra, the Halachic day is, the halachic day is from Hanetzach Chama, from sunrise until sunset. That's the halachic day. That's it. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, the halachic day is going to be from Amud HaShachar until Tseis HaKochavim. According to the Gra, you can't say that we begin at Amud HaShachar, even though for many mitzvos, the Mishnah Megillah says we're allowed to do Tekiyas Shofar B'diyeved after Amud HaShachar, but you can't say the day halachically begins at Amud HaShachar for the Gra, because since the Gemara at the beginning of Pesachim says that Chatzos has to be the halfway point in the day, so I can't have a day that begins at Amud HaShachar and goes until Shkia, because that's not even. Right? Amud HaShachar is the same, let's say, 72 minutes before sunrise, and Tseis HaKochavim is the 72 minutes after sunset. So if you're going to begin 72 minutes before, you have to end 72 minutes after. Right? Chatzos is supposed to be the halfway point of day when the sun is directly up on top. It's just not going to work. So according to the Gra, you have to begin at Hanetzach Chama and end at Shkia. According to Rabbeinu Tam, you begin at Amud HaShachar and you end at Hanetzach Chama. Amud HaShachar, you end at Tseis HaKochavim. Now, if this is correct, so we could say the following Shtickle Torah also. Zogt Rabbi Willig. We could say that perhaps part of the machlokas between the Gra and the Rabbeinu Tam is how long a mil is. We've been talking until now that the length of a mil is 18 minutes. How do you get 18 minutes? How do you get 18 minutes? So 18 minutes is not so difficult. You see, on a even day, there are 12 hours in the day. Each hour is 60 minutes. All right, good. So that means there's 720 minutes. There's 720 minutes. Now, the Gemara in Pesachim tells us that a person can walk 40 mil in a day. So what does that equal? If I can walk 40 mil in a day, how long is a mil? 40 mil equals 720 minutes.
It was 18.
What?
18.
18, huh? Right, that's good. So that one works out, according to the Gra. Rabbi Willig goes very fast. I don't know if you noticed. His math is... He's very quick. According to Rabbeinu Tam, though, we can't make this cheshbon. If you look in Rabbi Willig's Sefer in the Amordechai, so this is on page 25 in the packet. So if the day goes from Amud HaShachar until Tseis HaKochavim, so then the Gemara says that there are 4 mil from Amud HaShachar until Netzach Hama, and another 4 mil from Shki until Tseis HaKochavim. So that means the day is really going to be 32 mil. Right? Because I'm taking away 8 mil. So 32 mil goes into 12 hours, into 720 minutes, and you end up with a mil being 22 and a half minutes. That's really Rabbeinu Tam's Shita, that a mil is 22 and a half minutes. If that's the case, so then Rabbi Willig is very convinced that this is Pshat in Rabbeinu Tam. And now comes his kicker. Zot Rabbi Willig, if that's the case, so then Seis HaKochavim, according to Rabbeinu Tam, has to be 4 mil after what we call Shkia. But each mil is 22 and a half minutes. So Seis HaKochavim has to be 90 minutes after Shkia, at least. Right? If you hold the degrees of darkness, it could be that you get up to 144 minutes, or something like that. But at least 90 minutes. Zucked Rabbi Willig, no one holds 90 minutes for Motzei Shabbos. Memela, that's the raya that no one paskins like Rabbi Nutam.
90 minutes or 90 zmani is minutes?
So it would be 90, what we call minutes, I think, because we're dividing up our types of...
The 720, what was that?
720 720 is on the equinox day. Mm-hmm. On an equinox day, it would be 90 minutes.
Okay.
Right? So, since we don't hold, since no one keeps Shabbos for 90 minutes, so Mamela, we don't paskin like the Rabbeinu Tam. That's Rabbi Willig's kicker. He got in at the end. He got involved in some more complicated cheshbonos based on the brisker shitas of waiting an achdol or a zexel for Motzei Shabbos, a sixth of the day or an eighth of the day. That's because there's a parish hamishnah of the Rambam who says that's 5 mil, and then you make a cheshbon based on that. Right? Okay, whatever it is, those are chumras. That's what Rabbi Willig spoke about at the end of the shiur. But I think this is the bulk of what Rabbi Willig wanted to address. And the raya is that we don't paskin like the Rabbeinu Tam. Any questions on Rabbi Willig's shiur?
How did he get to the 90, from 72 to 90 minutes?
Sorry. Because if 4 mil is Tseis HaKochavim, and each mil is 22 and a half minutes, so 4 times 22 and a half equals 90. And 4 times 22 is 88, and then 4 times a half is another 2.
So taking out 8 mil, he only takes out 4 mil.
No.
4 from the beginning, 4 from the end.
4 from the beginning, 4 from the end. You end up with 32 mil in the day. Because the Gemara says that you walk 40 mil in a day. If a day is going to be from Amud HaShachar until Tseis HaKochavim, and the Gemara says I walk 4 mil from Amud HaShachar until Netzachama, and 4 mil from, right, so I'm taking out 8 mil, so I have 32 mil in the day. 32 mil into 720 minutes gives me 22 and a half minutes a mil, and then I end up with the 90 minutes for Motzei Shabbos. No one holds that way, so that's why Rabbi Willig says Klal Yisrael. Now, this is a big chiddush, by the way, because in Shulchan Aruch it says that we pass like Rabbeinu Tam. The fact that Klal Yisrael does not hold like Rabbeinu Tam, which is pretty clear, there is almost no communities that hold up Rabbeinu Tam. Almost no one holds a Rabbi Nutam, but Lamaisa, it's very difficult because Shulchan Aruch says, are we passing like Rabbi Nutam? Okay, what can we do? Yeah. Today, Hasidim in America, there was some deal. The way Rabbi Willig has said it over in the past is that there was an Agudas Rabbanim convention in America like 60 years ago where they made the following deal. That the Misnagdim would promise not to finish Shabbos before 42 minutes after Shkia, in exchange for the Hasidim not doing Malacha after Shkia. That was the deal. Someone told me it's not true. Someone told me that a friend of mine spent a Shabbos in Union City by the Kleisenberger Hasidim, so he asked Rabbi Shechta after if he was allowed to eat the food because they were cooking after Shkia. So Rashi said, why are they cooking after Shkia? That's us, sir. Yeah, but they hold the Rabbi in time. So it's still Vadayom. The fact that it looks pitch black outside doesn't mean it's not Vadayom. So I'm not sure about this deal. The way Rabbi Willig always said it over in the past was based on that deal. Yeah?
Again, where was the grub counting from for getting his 18 minutes?
The grub's 18 minutes is that you go from Honei Tachama until Shkia. You have seven... You have 720 minutes that way. 12 hours, 720 minutes.
And it's 40 mil.
And it's 40 mil.
And then the Rabbeinu Tam was saying from where to where?
Rabbeinu Tam is saying that you have 40 mil in the day. But the day, according to Rabbeinu Tam, goes from Amor HaShachar until Tzeis HaKochavim. And then I have to take off 8 mil, because they take off the 4 mil from Amor HaShachar until Neitz, and take off the 4 mil from Shkia until Tzeis. So I'm only left with 32 mil. According to the Gra, right, those extra mil from Amor HaShachar until Neitz and from Shkia until Tzeis are in addition to the 40, which would mean 48. Right, that's the basic cheshbon. Okay, yeah.
Is it all talking about an equal day?
What would that
equal? Is it all talking about like an equinox day?
Yeah, that's the easiest thing. I mean, then you have to calculate based on non-equinox days, but well, it's hard enough on an equinox day.
The numbers come.
Yeah.
The Gemara in Sefer that says you're walking 40 a day is assuming from Neitz to Shkia. Why is that a for sure thing? Why wouldn't Rabbeinu Tam say no? It's only from.
Yeah. So that is something to think about. The Gemara says that there are 4 mil from Amud HaShachar until Neitz HaChama also, in that same sugya. The question is that in addition to the 40, or taken out of the 40? Rabbi Willig moves very quick over
we're
here.
We're assuming taken out of. Well, why?
Who's we?
The way we just said Rabbeinu Tam.
According to Rabbeinu Tam, we're assuming that way, right? Because we're assuming that people walk only when the sun is fully out. That you're not going to walk at the time that it's already getting dark or it's not fully light. You won't walk yet.
No.
So 40 mil of... Right. Yeah.
Rabbi didn't address this directly, but I was putting, but what accounts for that, for example, the difference in when we meet up with Don Mari and like when 101 in the main base?
Yeah, so the main base, Rav Schechter Paskins like Leo Levi's Manim. There's a sefer that used to be called Jewish Chronomy, now it's called Halachic Times. It's very good to get it in the library. So, or buy it at the Sfarim sale whenever we have that. So that sefer basically works with Rav Schechter Paskins like the Shulchan Aruch Harav's version of the Gaonim, which is slightly different than the Vilna Gaon's version. You end up with like an extra 8 or 9 minutes a day. According to the Gra, it's going to be nightfall in New York by 20 minutes after Shkia. According to the Alter Rebbe, it goes from, let's say, 25 until 32 minutes, depending on the time of year. Which is based on degrees of darkness. It's based on one side in Rebbe Chanan's Chakira, that says HaKochavim is based on the degrees of darkness, and different times a year, it gets darker in terms of May.
How's that Chakir
Lamaisa?
At some point of darkness, you will see the stars.
No, yeah. So what Rabbi Willing pointed out, which again, you have to know a lot of astronomy, is that the stars come out earlier in the autumn than they come out in the spring.
So
mm-hmm.
The degrees of darkness, wouldn't they change then?
No. It's the same amount of degrees of darkness.
It's the same darkness, yet...
But this, you can't see the stars because of where they're positioned in the heavens.
Alright.
Whatever that's worth. Yeah, so the YU-based Medrash uses that Zman. That's the way Rav Schechter Paskins. 101, I think, davens at 40 minutes after something. I don't remember anymore. 101 has a cheshbon, they daven 40 minutes. Different places have different cheshbons about when they daven Ma'ariv. And how this works out. I know Rabbi Willard told me, I spent a few summers as the rabbi in his shul, Young Israel of Riverdale, because he's up in Camp Morasha, so he said that we never announce when the fast is over. You never announce when the fast is over, because in terms of when the fast is over, may Iker Hadin, it could be the fast is going to be over 13 and a half minutes after Shkia or something, because people aren't feeling well. You can rely on the Iker Hadin, 13 and a half minutes, chick-chack boom. So don't announce his man. That's what he said. That's what they do in the Young Israel of Riverdale. In my show now, so they've been using the Zman of 36 minutes. No one knows how they got the Zman of 36 minutes, but they end the fast at 36 minutes after Shkia. It's not crazy. In other words, if you're going to finish Shabbos at 42 minutes after Shkia, so a fast day should be a little more makel than Shabbos. Okay, so 6 minutes more makel. I don't know where it came from. That's just what they've been doing for the last 50 years. So there are different shitos. You also have to make cheshbon, this apply kamincha, which is very important. You have to calculate that based on what we're saying now. If you're passing like the Vilna Gaon, so apply kamincha, you are going to calculate based on shkia sachama, and then you move backwards. Zman kriyishma also, according to the Gra, right? Zman kriyishma is going to be different according to the Rabbeinu Tam. When Tosis says that Zman kriyishma is based on Alos HaShachar, Tosin Daf Gimon Brachos, so Tosis is working within the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam, that the day goes from Alos HaShachar until Tzeis HaKochavim. So these things are very important. Rabbi Willig always advises Rabbonim that you should start davening at 8:30 in your Shulon Shabbos instead of 9 o'clock. If you start davening at 8:30, you make Zman Kriya Shema 97% of the time. Now, there's no weeks that you're not going to make it. Since they started changing the clock later, 2 years ago, whenever it is, you're going to make Zman Kriya Shema almost every single week. If you start at 8:30, you start at 9 o'clock, you're going to be missing all these weeks. Right? This week, Zman Kriya Shema was 9:16, this Shabbos. Right? Mashal started davening at 9 a.m. Right? So you're not going to make it. No one davens that fast. So you have to, it's important to try to make cheshbonos to daven at the right time. Ideally, you should try to daven in a way that you're not only saying Kriya Shema before this man, that you're saying Gaal Yisrael before this man. The Gra himself holds that you're only Yotzei Tefillah B'Tzibur if you're only Yotzei, Smichas Gula L'Tefillah, if you say Kriya Shema and the Brachos before this man, and then you say Shemona Esrei right after. So you should try to do that also. That's what we do in yeshiva. The reason why in yeshiva they start davening, I think this week they start at 8:25 in the base medrash instead of 8:30. What was the cheshbon for that 5 minutes? They were going to make Kriya Shema anyway. Well, it depends. Sometimes they do daven slowly, if I remember correctly. But the cheshbon for those 5 minutes is because they try to make Kriya Shema with the brachos by this man. Okay? Any other questions of Rabbi Willig Shear? Or let's move on to Rabbi Sachs very quickly. Rabbi Sachs gave a share about the mitzvah of Tekiyas Shofar. Now, this year Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos, so we have to speak about how come they don't blow the Shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. When Rosh Hashanah first says that this is because it's a Din D'oraisa. One pasuk says Zichron Truah, the other pasuk says Yom Truah. So that tells me that there's sometimes that you don't blow the Shofar Zichron Truah. You don't even remember blowing the Shofar. Correctly, Gemara, if that's the case, if it's a Din Dei Raisa, so then how come they would blow the shofar b'mikdash? The Mishnah says, if it's a Din Dei Raisa based on the Zichron Truah, how come they blow b'mikdash? So the Gemara answers, it's a Din Dei Rabbanan based on the Gezerah of Shema Yavirenu, Dalamas B'Shis Harabim. That's what the Gemara says. Okay, it's interesting to note that the Shabbalei Halakat, the Shabbalei Halakat, even though he paskins like the Maskana of Ar Gemara, of the Talmud Bavli, that it's because of Gezer Shem Yavrin Dal Amas B'Shus HaRabim, but Shabbalei Halakat says that this is really the pshat in the psukim. The reason why the Torah says Zichron Truah is because of Shem Yavrin Dal Amas. In some ways, this is trying to make peace between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, because Yerushalmi says that it's really based on Zichron Truah. When we daven on Rosh Hashanah Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, we say Yom Zichron Truah, which is in light of Yerushalmi. If you would be in Bernard Riffel Graduate School, they would tell you that many of the davening that we have on Yom Tovim and Yom Narayim is based on Minhag Eretz Yisrael, and Minhag Eretz Yisrael, this is what Shaul Lieberman pointed out in his book, Talmud Nishal Kisrin, etc. Minhag Eretz Yisrael was based on the Talmud Yerushalmi, and therefore we say Zichron Truah, but that's only if you're in Bernard Riffel. Okay, now, what happens if I blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos? There's a great guy named Tzaddik, Rav Schlesinger, who blew shofar Rosh Hashanah Shkalos B'Shabbos. He tried to put together a bezin of 23 people to do it, and that way he was mekayim the shitos that you can blow in a bezin, and he was doing it in Yerushalayim in light of the sheet of the Rambam, that all of Yerushalayim is considered mikdash. And the question is whether your yotzei, the mitzvah, if you blow shofar Rosh Hashanah Shkalos B'Shabbos. Most rabbanim didn't hold of him. Reb Shmuel Salant famously said that had he been there, he would have hid behind the wall. He wouldn't encourage people to go and hear a Schlesinger blow shofar, but he would have hid behind the wall to hear him blow shofar to be mekayim the mitzvah. But is it pasha that you're mekayim and mitzvah, you're both shofar from Rosh Hashanah Chalal b'Shabbos? It could be that you're not. It could be that when Chazal say not to blow shofar, Chazal are mamish uprooting the mitzvah. We see this idea in Taisus and Sukkah on Daf Gimel. And Taisus over there discusses the Gemara's case of if I have a very small sukkah and the Gemara has a gezeira shemi yimoshech achar shochano, maybe if I am sitting in the sukkah shochano b'soch habayis, maybe I'll be drawn after my shochan and I won't be in the sukkah. So Taisus over there says it could be that you're not yotzei the mitzvah of sukkah even min haTorah. In that situation, once Chazal made a gezeira, Shemi Yimashich Achar Shochano, so they're taking away the mitzvah d'oraisa of sukkah. So similarly, we could perhaps say that when they make a gezeira not to blow shofar, Rosh Hashanah Shachal Yos B'Shabbos, they're mamish taking away the mitzvah, and even if I do blow shofar, I don't get the mitzvah. One could have said that. There's a whole literature about this. Rabbi Akiva Eger discusses this. What Rabbi Sachs pointed out, which I haven't seen in the whole literature about this, Rabbi Chaim Michal Tukuchinsky in his Sefer Ir HaKodesh Ramikdash has a whole literature. He has a whole three paragraphs about this episode of Tkiya Shofar Rashon Shachal Yos B'Shabbos. Very interesting read. But he doesn't point out, and Rabbi Sachs does point out, that the Rambam writes Beferish and Hilchos Shkagos of a case of Tov B'Dvar Mitzvah, the Kiyam Mitzvah, is if a person blows shofar on Rosh Hashanah, Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, or takes lulav on Sukkos, Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. That's a case of Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah, and you did the mitzvah. That means that mamash amekayim the mitzvah, in other words, that we're assuming that Chazal did not uproot the mitzvah entirely. Perhaps there's a difference between the case of sukkah, where they're passing the chefts of the sukkah, and the case of shofar and lulav, where they're just a din on the gaffer and not to do it. Fine. Now, we're assuming that that Yom Shura and Zichron Shura doesn't really impact on whether we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. That's what Talmud Bavli assumes. So Lamaisa, what's the difference between Yom Shura and Zichron Shura? How come the Torah has two different expressions? So what Rabbi Sachs said over is that, according to Rav Soloveitchik, the difference is that Yom Shura reflects the Maisa HaMitzvah. It's a day of blowing shofar. That's the Maisa HaMitzvah. The Kiyom HaMitzvah, however, is the Zichron Shura. The Kiyom HaMitzvah is the remembering the lessons that the shofar is supposed to impart. That's the Kiyom HaMitzvah of blowing the shofar. Very often, the Maisa HaMitzvah is synonymous, is exactly the same as the Kiyom HaMitzvah, but sometimes it's very different, right? By davening, the Maisa HaMitzvah saying the words, the Kiyom HaMitzvah is that's a Vodah Shebelev. Oftentimes, it's exactly the same. I pick up a lulav, that's the Maisa HaMitzvah and the Kiyom HaMitzvah. However, it could be that by shofar, also, the Maisa HaMitzvah and the Kiyom HaMitzvah is going to be different, right? Like, there's a song, Yeshiva Shereg, Yeshiva Shesprach. I think one of the lines in that song is the mice is over here and the kiyum is over there. So that song is a kiyum of this vart. that right, the mice hamitzvah is the blowing of the shofar, and the kiyum hamitzvah is what it teaches me. Is there any halachic nafgamina? So Rabbi Sachs said, interestingly, that maybe there is. Maybe there is. And there's a famous theory in the Rambams in terms of whether I say mitzvah tzrichos kavana or not. Right. On the one hand, the Rambam says that kfa'o le'echol matzah, right, if they force me to eat matzah, so then the Rambam is going to tell me that mitzvos ein tzrichos kavon, and I get the mitzvah even though I'm forced. On the other hand, by tokei al ashir, the Rambam says, if I blow shofar just because I like the way it sounds, so then the Rambam says that mitzvos tzrichos kavona, that unless I have kavona, I don't get the mitzvah. So there's a famous steer, the Magid Mishnah talks about the steer in the Rambams between Kfa'o Lechol Matzah and Tokei Al Ashir. Perhaps the idea is that by mitzvos tzrichos kavana, the kavana is going to be ma'akev when the kiyum ha-mitzvah is different than the ma'isa ha-mitzvah. If the ma'isa and the kiyum are happening exactly at the same time, so then I'm going to say mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana. That's by matzah. Right, by matzah, I eat the matzah, I get the points right away. But by a mitzvah like shofar, where the idea of shofar is not just to do the mechanical act of blowing the shofar, but to remember the lessons of the shofar. So then, since the kiyum is over there, the kiyum isn't connected to the ma'isa, so therefore I need kavana. Perhaps the idea is that when we speak about shofar as having a ma'isa hamitzvah and a kiyum hamitzvah, based on zichron shrua, That's the kiyum ha-mitzvah. So what we're really saying is that shofar is a kiyum of tefillah, that the shofar somehow integrates with the davening. Just like davening is a kiyum b'leiv, so shofar is also a kiyum b'leiv. This point is noted by Rashi when the Gemara says that you're supposed to have a bent shofar, a shofar that's kafuf is preferable. So Rashi comments why. So Rashi says, because the more I'm bent in tefillah, the better off it is. What does tefillah have to do with anything? I'm talking about blowing the shofar. Elamai, you see that the shofar itself is part of the tefillah. Similarly, we see this same idea. We see the same idea in terms of the Bahamar. The Bahamar is a famous shita that usually we assume that the tekiyos of Me'uma, that the tekiyos that we blow beforehand, and the tekiyos de Miyushav, right? Usually we assume that the tekiyos de Me'uma that we blow before Shemona Esrei, the first tekiyos, and the tekiyos de Miyushav later on. The Bahamar has a different shita. The Bahamar says that the tekiyos that we what?
Tekiyos de Miyushav.
Farkeret, right? Kiyosim Yusha, the first ones, and Kiyosim Ud, the ones that we blow during Chazas Hashatz, thank you. The Bahamar has a different shita. He says that the first tekiyos that you blow are nothing. Medina de Gemara, those tekiyos didn't exist. The only tekiyos that they would blow, Medina de Gemara, were the tekiyos in Chazas Hashatz, and then they would blow some tekiyos all the way at the very end, which would be what they would call the tekiyos de Miyushav, all the way at the very end of davening. That's the Bahamar shita. The Bahamar says, because at the time of the Gemara, they didn't blow the first set of tekiyos at all, so that's why Shas never mentions a bracha on tekiyah shofar, because they wouldn't make a bracha. Since at the time of the Gemara, they would always blow shofar as part of tefillah, so mamela, no bracha was recited. The idea is that any mitzvah that I do in the miskeret, in the framework of other mitzvahs, doesn't get another bracha. That's why, for example, we don't recite a bracha on the mitzvah of saying Kriya Shema, because we always recite Kriya Shema in the miskeret of Birchas Kriya Shema, right? And we always say it's part of the davening and smicha skola tefillah, so I don't make a bracha specifically on Kriya Shema. However, Rabbi Amram Golan says that let's say I daven Ma'ariv too early, so then when I'm going to say Shema later on, then I do make a bracha on the Shema. So the Bahamar's idea that they wouldn't recite a bracha on shofar at the time of the Gemara because they only blew during Chazaras Hashatz further shows that the tekiyas shofar was integrated with the tefillah. Fine. So Ad Kan, Rabbi Sachs's discussion of tekiyas shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. Then the next element is just general tekiyas shofar. Very quickly, there's a famous machloikas between Rashi and Tosfos at the end of Rosh Hashanah about how long the shear of a tekiyah and a shvarim is. Let's talk about a shvarim. Rashi says that a tekiyah is supposed to be the same length as the entire shvarim, which means a total of 3 kolchos. Total 3 kolchos. That should be a tekiyah. If that's the case, according to Rashi, so Tosfos says, if I blow each part of my shvarim a little bit too long, so that part of the shvarim becomes a tekiyah, and then I'm not yotzi the mitzvah at all. A shvarim is supposed to be, right, let's say, a beat and a half. Boo, 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 right? If I make it just a teeny bit longer, boo, 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 right? So then right away, each one of those becomes a tekiyah, and I'm not yotzi. That's the shita of Rashi. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi, and Tosfos says that no, that the shear of a tekiyah is going to be gimel kolchos kodehu, right? 3 of those kolchos. So shvarim is 3 beats, 3 sounds, each sound being 3 kolchos. That's the shita of Tosfos. When Rav Soloveitchik was young, he had a famous shtickle Torah to try to be yotze both Rashi and Tosfos, where he suggested that maybe if you blow 5 shvarim and each shever is 2 beats long, so then you'll have it, both according to Rashi and according to Tosfos. He sent the shtickle to his grandfather, Reb Chaim, and Reb Chaim instituted in his base medrash. It happens that the Mishnah Berurah writes that you're not supposed to blow more than 3 shvarims. Okay, fine. Now, Tosfos' kasha that if I blow my shever too long, it becomes a tekiya, is used by the Emek Bracha and Rav Salavitchik as a raya that the sound of a shevarim has to be a straight sound. In certain communities, this is a machlokas between the way they used to blow in Lithuania and the way they blew in Poland. I think in Poland, they would blow tu'utus. Right? That would be the sound of a shevarim. So if that's the sound of a shevarim, so if I blow it too long, it can't become a tekiya. It doesn't sound anything like a tekiya. That's the basic idea of that's the basic idea that the Emek Bracha and Rav Salavitchik have. Now there is a way out. There is a way to be madcha the raya. You see, the Gemara in Pesachim says that Hiskin Reb Avohu de Kisrin Reb Avohu Kisarya had a takana that you're supposed to blow all the sounds tashrat, tashat, and tarat. And there's a machlokes Rishonim what he was being metaking. Most Rishonim understand that what he was being metaking was that we're not sure the proper sound of the trua, the biblical trua. When the Torah says Yom Trua Yelachem, what is a trua? Is a trua a wailing sound? Is a trua a sighing sound? Right, that's sighing, or is it a wailing sound? Right? Is it a wailing sound? You're not sure which one, or maybe it's a combination. First that you sigh and then you wail. Right? So therefore Rebbe Avohu Kisrin said do all of them, mikoach safek. That's the pashtus in the Gemara. Rebbe Haigon is quoted by the Ran, is saying that no, that it's not really a safek, but they're all correct. All the sounds are correct. Tosis has a discussion about what you blow. I'll say their habrachos, and I blow when I say malchios. So what sounds do I blow? When I say shofros, when I say zakronos, when I say shofros, what sounds do I blow? So our practice is that we blow tashrat, tashat, tarat. Other people have the practice that they blow tashrat for malchios, tashat for zakronos, and tarat for shofros. How does that make any sense? L'chor, you're not yotzei that way, because maybe it's tarat is the proper sound, and then you're only yotzei shofros, and you're not yotzei malchios. What's going on here? So if you hold that Rav Haigon is correct, that all the sounds are going to be kosher, so then you could suggest that, by blowing tashrat for malchios, and tashat for zechronos, and tarat for shofros, you're going to be yotzei. That's what Rav Haigon says, that all the sounds are correct. So one could perhaps argue like this. One could perhaps argue that if Rav Haigon is correct, that all the sounds are correct, so then it shouldn't matter if I'm blowing a broken sound or a straight sound. Maybe Tosis' entire kasha that he's asking on Rashi, if you make your shevarim too long, it becomes a tekiya, and therefore it's no good. Right, that's Tosis' kasha on Rashi. So we said, well, maybe it's going to be tu'utus, and tu'utu sounds different, the shevarim sounds different, and it can't, even if I make it longer, it can't become a tekiya, right? Well, first of all, who says a tekiya can't be a broken sound? Well, the Ritva says that. The Ritva says that every tekiya has to be a kol yashar without any differences whatsoever. But if Rav Haigon is correct, I'm yotzei with all the sounds, perhaps I'm also going to be yotzei with this funny sort of tu'utu sound. Maybe that's the pshat. Maybe. It's a possible yishuv. Now Rabbeinu Tam has a chiddush. Rabbeinu Tam says that if you just blow tashrat, it's going to be okay, right? Yeah, I blow tashrat by malchios, tashrat by zechronos, and tashrat by shofros, and it's okay. Why? So Rabbeinu Tam says because kol acher eino mafsik. Kol acher eino mafsik. What's the pshat in the Rabbeinu Tam? So pshat in Rabbeinu Tam is as follows. First of all, Rabbeinu Tam holds that there is a discussion in Tosis in Erecha and in Tosis elsewhere about when I blow tashrat, is it supposed to be b'neshima achas or b'beis neshimos? Is it supposed to be one breath or two different breaths? So I take a breath between the shvarim and the trua. If I hold that I take a breath between the shvarim and the trua, so then really what I have is two different sounds. And therefore I could say kol acher eino mafsik, because I blew tekiya shvarim, then I blew a trua. Okay, so the trua, I'm not supposed to blow a trua, but it's not a mafsik, it's not a hefsik, according to Rabbeinu Tam. So it doesn't mess me up. So it's not a problem. However, according to those who shown him, who would say that tashrat has to be blown b'neshima achas, so then I don't have a kol acher, what I have, if I blow Tashrat, and the Tzriya is supposed to only be a Shvarim, is I have a Shvarim that became a Trua. That's a messed up sound. That's not a Kolach. That's a messed up sound, and then it turns out that I'm not Yotze at all. So that's the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam, that Tashrat is blown for everything, because Kol Acher Eino Mafzik. It also works out nicely, because Rabbeinu Tam holds that the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah is a mitzvah of Tekiyah, not Shmiyah. If you hold that the mitzvah is Shmiyah, so then I could say that I blow Shvarim and Shruah b'neshima achas, and I hear it as two different sounds, so therefore I'm Yotze. Rabbeinu Tam says that the mitzvah is Litkoa b'shofar, right? He doesn't have the bracha the way we have it, Lishmoa ko shofar. That's why the Rambam has it, Lishmoa. Rabbeinu Tam has the bracha Litkoa. If the bracha is Litkoa, so the mitzvah is to blow, so I have to blow each sound differently. So the Shvarim and the Trua have to be blown with two different neshimos. So I think that was a quick summary of Rabbi Sachs's here. Any questions before Ma'ariv? I thought we'd do more tonight, but we didn't. Okay. That's the first question. How come we didn't do more? Okay, Yashgar, thank you for coming. So we'll try to continue. Maybe we should have one more on a Sunday night before that marathon share that we'll have the last Tuesday of the semester. I think Tuesday, December 8th is the last year. The 15th will be a Chazar Shir, and then the 22nd is going to be the final. Does that make sense? Or the 1st and the 8th, I think. No, the 1st is the last year, the 8th is supposed to be the Chazar Shir, and the 15th is the final. Right, the 1st is the last year, right?
December 15th is the final, yeah.
Thank you for coming. I hope I didn't bore you too much.